Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." Our readings today are about two sendings. One is a sending away, and the other a sending in. Hagar, the maid servant of Sarah, is sent away with her son Ishmael into the desert, their presence no longer required. Jesus gives his disciples guidance before sending them in to the villages and towns of Galilee to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Oft quoted from Oscar Wilde's A Woman of No Importance is the line, "Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future." I like it. It speaks of potential, and of course can also remind us to be on our guard. Many of the Bible's heroes are far from being plaster saints. They have had significant failings, lapses in judgment, as well as great faith, courage, or wisdom. Take, for example, the lives of Moses, or of David, and of St. Paul. And from today's reading, the lives of Abraham and Sarah, sometimes pioneers of faith, at other times really doubtful about God's promises. We who are not always faithful give thanks that though there are times when we find it hard to believe in God and to walk the way of Jesus, God never stops believing in us, and the risen Lord walks beside us on the road. It's complicated, is a saying sometimes used to refer to relationships or to family life today. But we would be mistaken if we thought this was a new phenomenon. Take the story of Hagar from around 2,000 years before Christ, who with her son is exiled from her community. It's a complicated story too. It was with her mistress's blessing that Hagar had a child with Sarah's husband Abraham. Such arrangements were intended to continue the family line and were legal at the time. But there was no legal provision for Hagar being cruelly sent away. God, however, does not forget them. Stories like this cast a light on how we see the Bible. Perhaps we are shocked to find that as well as the Word of God in the Bible, there are some very human words and some very human actions also. The majesty of the Bible is that it doesn't write out the dark deeds or deny the history, even when some of its heroes are culpable. Rather, the Bible reports life as it is and declares that God has come to redeem us. God hasn't given up on any of his children. Hagar would have known how precarious her position was. We first meet her a few chapters earlier. You can pick up her story at chapter 16. It begins there. When, at Sarah's suggestion, the arrangements involving Abraham are proposed. When Hagar is expecting Abraham's child, Sarah feels belittled. Living with this unhappiness and pregnant, Hagar runs away from the camp. And this is when we first hear of God's intervention in her life. She is met by an angel at a spring in the desert who tells her to go back to the camp, reassuring her that her son Ishmael will also have many descendants, so many that they too will become too numerous to count. And there at this well, Hagar called God El Roi, meaning the God who sees me, the God who sees me. When Isaac, the promised son, notwithstanding their parents' faithlessness, which led to the arrangement initially with Hagar, when Isaac arrives on the scene, the strain reaches breaking point. And the action they take is decisive. Abraham looks out some food and a skin of water and sends Hagar and Ishmael away into the desert. Quickly, their situation, as you might imagine, becomes desperate. With the water gone, Hagar places her young son under a bush. Unable to watch her son die, Sarah takes herself, we're told, about a bow shot away. An interesting literary device, this, referencing a future when it was thought there was none, for Ishmael will become an archer of great repute. Young Ishmael, whose name means God hears, cries his heart out, and Hagar sobs deeply. Then the God who sees Hagar and hears Ishmael comes to them with the promise of this better future. Hagar then sees a well in the desert, fills the skin with water, and gives her boy a drink. On Sanctuary Sunday, we see how Hagar's story is like the story of so many refugees, displaced persons, dispossessed of their homes and forced to leave. How good it is that in the Bible, the story of Hagar the Egyptian is told. Here we see the God who cares for all whose life journey involves exile from their homes and fear for the future. Jesus, we discover, understands this from the inside. He was himself a child refugee who, as an adult, was forced outside the camp, as the book of Hebrews says, outside the city wall, where, in the words of the Easter hymn, he died to save us all. On Sanctuary Sunday, we are invited to see as God sees and to hear as God hears, to recognize the suffering of all who are displaced and who seek sanctuary today. Jesus spoke about how precious each child of God is. He spoke of how God pays such attention to us and the circumstances of our lives that the hairs of our head are numbered. Can you imagine, says Jesus, God pays such attention to his creation that even a sparrow matters. Now, Matthew tells us that sparrows were sold at the market. Literally, they were to a penny. Luke puts it a little differently, asking, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Luke is making the point that even the fifth sparrow, which costs the buyer nothing and comes free, if you like, with the 2 pennies, the sparrow that has no apparent worth, even that sparrow is precious and dear to God. The wisdom of Professor Willie Barclay lives on in the Daily Study Bible. And concerning not even a sparrow falling to the ground without God knowing about it, or outside your Father's care, as our translation put it, Prof. Barclay makes the point that the reference here is not to a sparrow falling to the ground because it has died, but to each time it alights and lands on the earth or perches on a branch. God sees the sparrow every time it moves and hops about. So it is, Jesus says, be assured. If God cares for sparrows like this, how much more will he care for you and I and for every part of our lives? As the song says, his eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. No one is overlooked. Everyone is precious. Such love is for our neighbors seeking refuge and asylum. Such love is for our neighbors unsettled by many of life's challenges, from making ends meet to long COVID to unsettled mental health. Such love is for us all. And we, whose experiences of both brokenness and healing, we who are Christ's disciples in these days are, like the 12, sent in to proclaim such a love, to make visible this grace, to embody Christ's love in our communities, across the things that divide, sans frontier, in a world crying out for hope and life in all its fullness. May the Spirit given at Pentecost help us in these things as we look forward in faith and trust God's plan for the good future he has in store for all creation and all God's children. We are surely all a part of that. May God add his blessing to this preaching of his word. Amen.